Hi, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the radio program on the Internet on bbsradio.com, where we talk about the Akashic Records, we talk about your life, we answer your questions, and we even have guests. And I'm sorry to be late tonight, but we wanted to get the volume and the tonal quality just perfect. We're so happy to have. We're having Ray on back on because I'm in San Diego. Actually, I'm in Encinitas. And we are at this absolutely lovely home of Lynn McFarland, where we had an absolute fabulous weekend of level one and level two classes. And also on the phone with me is Jenny. And Jenny is from the Alabaster Jar in Astoria, Oregon. And I am so pleased to be going there when I leave here. So I will be at the Alabaster Jar in Astoria on July 2nd, and we'll be doing a level one on July 3rd and 4th. So if you're in the area, wait, just listen in and see how wonderful a class like this is. And so we're going to answer Jenny's questions the same way we're going to answer your questions. And so we really thank you so much for listening. So welcome, Rayon.
Oh, hi, Donna. It's been a great weekend. It's been a joy to be here.
Absolutely. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so, Rayon, why don't you kind of tell them what's been going on around here?
Well, let's see. Donna flew in from Ohio on Wednesday of this week. We picked her up at the airport, and we started out with the dead run. It's been fun. She did a lecture at a class that I hold on Wednesday night, where she opens the records of the group and presents a message. And the topic was on the qualities of ascension, which is one of the things that we really enjoy working on out here. It's a metaphysical class, and the people, I think, really enjoyed receiving the message. And then Thursday night, we were downtown San Diego at the Controversial Bookstore, which is kind of a landmark for San Diego. They've been here for about 30 years. So we really enjoyed meeting people from that area. And she did another lecture where she opened the groups of the Akashic Records and presented on expanding your prosperity. So that was really fun. And then, see, Friday, our level two workshop started, and that went through Saturday and Sunday. And then Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, we just finished here a level one workshop with, I think, eight new wonderful people who are now introduced on how to open their own personal Akashic Records for their own expansion and growth. They all look pretty happy.
Seems like they were. Yeah. It was, both classes were so profound. It's just amazing. I love answering questions, and if you've listened to the show before, you know that your questions actually get us to the right area of the records and your legal name also. But if you have any questions tonight for myself, Rayon, or even Jenny, and Jenny is new to the Akashic Records work. We haven't done a workshop there, and all Jenny knows about me is my flyer and for the workshop and the lecture. So, you know, Jenny, you can ask Rayon any questions you like from one promoter to another, and you can also ask me and about what goes on in the workshop, and we would love to hear from you.
Okay. How did you go about promoting the fact that Donna was coming?
How did I go about promoting Donna? Well, I have a little bit of an advantage over you, but not to discourage you, is that I've done this five times now. And I have a pretty significant group of people that turn out to see Donna when she comes and come to the lectures, and also people returning for some level one workshops, and then people have progressed from level one to level two, which is where you become a consultant and you learn to open the records of another person or an animal or actually of the land. So, but prior to that, let's see, I called my friends, and I have an entertainment company, so I have a database and also a metaphysical teacher. So I access that. I put it on Craigslist. Do you have Craigslist up there?
I do. I haven't done that yet.
You might want to put it on Craigslist in the area. And sometimes there's local newspapers or magazines that we access. It may be a little bit late for that, but, you know, you never know. There's a magazine down called The Light. So we put a press release in there. And then I take flyers around town, and I post them at the churches, and I post them at the bulletin boards, you know, community bulletin boards in the area, you know, here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main. And then I follow up with a lot of phone calls, like, in the week prior. I've probably made, you know, I don't know, 100 phone calls at least. So, and a couple of the people are actually sitting here that responded to one of those phone calls that didn't get the email or see the flyer. They just responded to my phone call.
Some people just like it that way.
And then Francine's sitting here, and she responded to my phone call and came to the lecture, and then ended up taking the workshop, and she's just all smiling. She says this is what she's been waiting for. So, see, you never know who's really... part is called to take it to the next level, which is learning to actually do the work for their own personal expansion. So, you know, I try not to put any spin on it, like, oh, this person would like it or this person wouldn't like it. You really don't know. You just offer it to everybody.
Right. I really appreciate all those ideas with it. I would love to have Donna coming back. Just the connection when she did my reading or any interaction I've had with her on the phone has been positive for my body tingle thing. This is absolutely right.
Those Akashic Record readings are powerful.
They are powerful
and life-changing.
And it confirms something somebody else had said when they'd read my records before for my personal reading. So it feels authentic also.
Well, blessings on your enthusiasm and your desire to promote this wonderful work in your areas. Well, you know, a lot of it is just energy. We'll send you energy. You know, as we speak, to speak for the highest good, that the right people, not that there are wrong people, but you know what I mean, by people that it's in their path to be attracted to this work, their own benefit will make the connection.
Right.
Okay?
And I think for this first workshop in July 3rd and 4th here, it's going to be people who are spirit-led to be here. Right? So
That's right.
It's very, very special.
And you know, what's interesting about this work is that everyone that comes to a level one workshop or even gets a consultation is really drawn by their heart. This is heart-centered energy, and the energy source for the Akashic Records is the heart connected to the mind that goes to source. So whether it's a consultation, because I'm going to be there a few days and people can do face-to-face consultations with me if they'd like, and or they can attend the seminar, the workshop, rather, and the workshop includes a one-hour telephone consultation with anyone who signs up for the workshop. And we're going to be doing a lecture at your store, too, on Friday night the 2nd, right?
On the 2nd, and then I believe also on the 7th.
Right. So why don't you give your address, you know, and your website, Jenny, and how they can contact you.
Okay. The Alabaster Jar is located at 1184 Commercial Street in Astoria, Oregon. The zip code, if you need it, is 97103. The phone number here is 503-325-8632. And the website is www.myalabasterjar.com.
Great. Thanks, Jenny. We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. I thought I heard a caller there.
I just got a question.
Oh, okay. Hi there.
Hi. I was wondering if you were ever thinking about writing a book or something, because it seems like you'd be able to write a really interesting book.
Well, you must be the materialization of the master teacher's loved ones and many, many friends and students, because they've been after me for a long time to write a book, and I have to tell you, I'm actually working on one right now. May I ask what your name is and where you're calling from?
My name's Jacob, and I'm calling from Palm Springs.
Oh, great. Well, Jacob, if you know a publisher, I'd love to talk to him. I've got some ideas that I'd love to bring forth as far as straight from the Akashic Records.
But I have over 9,000 friends in the business that might be able to point me in the right direction.
Well, I would love to talk to you offline, so let me give you my phone number.
Okay.
Okay, it's 216-691-1233.
Start over.
Oops,
sorry,
I'm getting
sorry,
that
sorry. All right, I'm ready.
Okay, 216-691-1233.
Thank you. Will do.
You're welcome. And if you email me, I can email you some information on my work, and you could email me at info@akashicwisdom, just like the show, .com.
Okay, great.
Did you get that?
Thank you.
And have you listened to the show before, Jacob?
Actually, I just found it out like the last 2 days. A friend turned me onto it.
Who did?
A friend turned me onto it.
Great. Well, you know, we answer questions for people on the air, and we're just, you know, if you have a question, we'd be glad to take care of it. Or you can email a question to that same email address, and we'll be happy to answer the questions that way, too.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Well, gee, thanks for calling in, Jacob. Appreciate your time. I can't wait to talk
no,
to you privately.
No problem. Great. I'll talk to you later.
Bye. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
I thought that was a good comment, Donna. Was it just the other day in the car, or we were seeing somebody give you a big green pen?
That's correct. That's right. I've got a great big green pen that I should start writing my book with. And and I've actually gotten a few things down, but now I have to really move forward because it's great when you get that reminder. You know, how far is Palm Springs from here? 150 hours, huh? That's nothing. I'm going to be here till Thursday. So maybe I should go to Palm Springs. Anyway, that'd be
we definitely should go there in the fall.
Yes, we have a friend in Palm Springs
we
can do a workshop there.
A friend who has a healing horse retreat there, we considered.
And she said she wanted us to do a workshop. Yeah, it is, Jenny. It's really cool. Yeah.
There's a neat community in the mountains above Palm Springs. Idaho.
Yeah, that's where she lives. Yeah.
So where about? My family was from.
I'm sorry?
My family was from Palm Springs, not from Palm Springs, from Idaho. And I actually
beautiful
hang out
area
in
up in there. Yeah.
That's great. Well, we'll have to check all that stuff out. So Jenny, what kind of questions do you have about the workshop the actual workshop itself that we can answer for you?
What is covered on the first day?
What is covered on the first day? Well, that's interesting. You do get a manual. Typically, the first day, you learn the prayer of how to open the Akashic Records. We do a discussion about the history of the Akashic Records, and we read the manual, as well as there's a lot of individual discussion based on the energy of the group. So there are profound questions that come from the group, and the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records bring forth profound stuff and answers for them. And it's not channeling. My eyes are wide open. I'm in full personality. And that's how you learn to open up your Akashic Records, with this specific sacred prayer. And then you're conscious, and you're able to access the records. By the end of the workshop, you have all the tools you need to access your own Akashic Records and have done it, you know, at least 3 to 5 times in and out of the records, and that's what you learn.
Okay.
Okay.
And then on into the second day?
And the second day, we go deeper into actually learning about how to use the records in every area of your life. So what we do is we move forward and talk about how to use it with the records to expand creativity, to help heal relationships, to help make decisions, to help understand what your right livelihood is and how to create that and how to get a vibrational match with that. We also work with a thing called the grace points, which has been brought forth, and ways that you can use the grace points in your life. And so there's a variety of different things. Oh, and we have a wonderful exercise that we work with books and the Akashic Records. And then there are other processes that come forward that are just amazing, that come right from the records, and they're spontaneous, and they fit the group perfectly. I'm going to give you an example. Today, we were doing some work about trust and different things, and then All of a sudden, the masters, teachers, and loved ones came forward with the question, and it was so off the wall, I couldn't believe they were saying it. But the reason that what they asked was, what was your favorite ride in the amusement park when you were a kid? Or what's your favorite ride in the amusement park even now? And so the people that were in the class had their records open, and it seemed like a very playful, interesting, but why are you asking this? So the masters, teachers, and loved ones, that's the question they want us to ask. So we asked that everybody answered the question of what their favorite ride in the amusement park was. And interestingly enough, each ride that everyone picked had a definite parallel to the way they were viewing their life. And so then the question was from the masters, teachers, and loved ones, how does the ride you described parallel and relate to your life in the now?
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting because you wouldn't expect, but it was what was the profundity that came forward was very interesting. Like people who love fear. And then you say to yourself, you love fear, but yet we're afraid of fear in our lives. Yet we go to an amusement park to get scared. And we've become so accustomed to fear that we hold on to fear because it's safe and because it's something that we know. And so that was expanded on or change or thrills or not knowing what the end was going to be or different ways. And so also what came forward is the Ferris wheel and how the Ferris wheel brought us up to the light and up to the stars and how it always went in full circle with our lives. And then we talked about the carousel and how it went around and around and that all the beautiful colors and the fact that this particular person was so taken with the carousel because that was the closest she could get to riding and being with horses in her world. And now she's she actually uses and does animal acupuncture. So it was just amazing the kind of information that came forward.
Huh.
Yeah. I have to interrupt you for a moment. We have another caller on the line. Hi, caller.
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was listening to your show, and I just had a couple of questions. I attend regularly a church in Cambridge, and I'm just having, I guess, a lack of faith. And I noticed your website, and I was interested in your point of views on energy and spirituality.
Okay. And what kind of church do you go to now?
It's a Southern Baptist church.
Okay. So this is a real foreign concept for you then, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And you're in Cambridge, Massachusetts?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, just can you give me your first name?
My first name is Maribel.
Maribel. And so you want to understand how I put together spirituality or with energy, is that correct?
Yes, I just want to know how you personally retain your faith.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. That's a very important question. I thank you so much for calling in. What I know is that, first of all, that everything on our planet is made up of vibration and frequency. But that doesn't discount God. It does not discount God. God is the most important thing, not only in my life, but in the universe.
Don't you wonder if, because there's so much pain in the world, if God exists?
I absolutely know God exists. And I believe that pain is a function of our evolution of our souls.
Evolution?
Now, this may not be something that you go along with. But I believe in reincarnation and that we've been on the planet more than once. And every time someone comes to the planet, they have an agenda. They have a soul purpose. And no matter what religion you are, no matter where you are on this planet. You all, everyone here has a sole purpose that they have partnered with the divine, with God, to create something meaningful in their life. And
oh,
so that we're all valuable.
Well, thank you.
We're
that
all
answers
valuable.
My question very well.
Yes.
And I appreciate
and I
your time, and I will definitely be tuning in to your show.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Maribel. I look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that's wonderful. I think that's important for us to have questions like that. You know, we all have different faiths. We have all gone in different ways sometimes with our religion. But it's important that we actually find out about other people's beliefs that may either parallel ours or may be the same as ours but a little different, or they may open a whole new concept that we've never thought about. And as long as we come forward in love and realize that we are put on this planet from with this wonderful ability to love, that's the most important thing. So, Jenny, do you have a comment on that?
I'm just listening to it and realizing all the different transitions I've gone through over my life and my own questioning God, accepting my beliefs towards reincarnation, understanding that if there is fear, there is also love.
Yes.
There's so many things to consider. And since I own a body, mind, spirit bookstore, I am constantly dealing with people from different viewpoints on spirituality, on life, and I'm small.
So. And you also, your bookstore is called The Alabaster Jar for a reason, isn't it?
It is.
You want to talk about that for a moment?
Sure. I was always impacted by the story of the Alabaster Jar in the Bible, which was, they're now tracking it to Mary Magdalene, having broken an alabaster jar of spikenard oil over Jesus' head just before he was crucified, during the time of the Last Supper. And the disciples were incredibly upset with her because the alabaster jar of spikenard oil cost a year's wages. And they thought, you know, you should be using this money to feed the poor. You should be doing whatever with this money. And Jesus had said that, no, she should be remembered for all of history, for the love that she offered him, that nobody else could offer at that point in time, or that we could. But the idea is that you give gifts of love unconditionally, that you recognize the divine feminine as well. There's a lot to it, and I think everybody gets their own personal interpretation of what it should be. But my purpose in naming the story the Alabaster Jar is really that we need to look at things from a different perspective. We need to fully surrender into unconditional love, not putting a price tag on it, and allow for more ways of seeing.
That's great. But you also are a sculptor, and you have beautiful works of art there at your store too, right?
I actually have managed to pull together an art gallery in this beautiful space. I am a potter, and I do sculpture work. I do Reiki into the pottery, so it holds the energy there. I have a gallery upstairs in the main workshop area that's probably about a 20 by 30 foot room with wood floor and a skylight above it, and I've been pulling in spiritual artists from anywhere I can find them who want to display their work and recognize the healing that occurs through the creative process. So right now I have Amy Livingstone showing here right now, and she has Sacred Art Studio in Portland, Oregon. If anybody's interested, you can look her up at www.sacredartstudios.com. Just an exceptional woman with paintings that are just out of this world beautiful.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, Jenny, Rihanna, we're all artists in our own way, and Rihanna is an animal communicator, as well as she works with the Akashic Records, and she also works with the whale and dolphin energy. And so she does speak engagements and workshops too. And the fact that you're right there by the ocean would be a great place for her to come sometime. If you're, you know, you should have a talk with her offline. And Rayanne, why don't you share with everyone what you do and give your contact information and your impression of that caller that just called.
Okay. Oh, that's a lot.
I know.
Okay. So my impression of, again,
the caller that called
before?
The Southern Baptist lady?
I think that when people call in and ask about their spiritual path or their religious path, however that expands in their life, how it comes to light, these are really important questions, because the Akashic Record holds the recorded journey of every thought, word, and deed for all of us in every lifetime. And whether you believe in incarnation or not, I'm going to quote somebody who quoted me once when I was a Christian and I was raised that way, and they said, well, whether you believe it or not, it's just not the fact that it exists, and it's not important that you believe in it. But if you ever choose to believe in it, then, you know, this path will be revealed to you. So we're all a work in progress. In other words, we're all discovering and expanding and learning more about ourselves, and we're questioning. And in our questioning, we are speaking the truth of ourself and our connection to the divine. So I think it was a wonderful question, and I think she was happy with it, and I hope that it opened some new doorways for her.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So talk to us about what you do and with the whales and dolphins and CUDA and all that good stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I started out on my spiritual path, the expansion of my spiritual path, after I had a near-death experience. I had a profound experience on the other side, if you will, on the other side of the tunnel, and it changed my perception of my path on Earth. It wasn't that I was unhappy or actually I was a dancer. I was a performing arts center. I had a very successful career as a dancer and students, and, you know, it took up about 20 years of my life. And prior to that, I'd studied veterinary medicine, so I had this great love for animals. But after having the near-death experience, my telepathy was greatly opened. It was one of the gifts that the Creator bestowed upon me by return to the planet, and that was my toys. And I became very telepathic with my cat, who at that time was named Pootie, and he began to teach me many, many things. I didn't know about metaphysics or energy healing. My only touchstone was Christianity, which was the energy and teachings of the Master Jesus. And so coming from that place, I had a lot of remembering to do, and the cat started to teach me about creating heaven on earth, and that's where we started. He started to teach me about love, and he told me that love is all there is. Everything else is an illusion, and that every single thought, word, and deed that is loving makes a difference in the all that is, that there's the vibrational measure, if you will. It's all weighted. In some sense, every time we have a loving thought, word, or deed, it makes a difference in the universe. Isn't that profound? That it just continues. It just continues to expand. That even the tiniest smile just keeps rippling out. You smile at someone, and they smile at someone, and then they smile at someone. You know, it just keeps going. It's like a ball rolling downhill. So I've tried to continue to focus on that and grow, and through that, I was able to begin to hear the voices of the dolphins first, and the dolphins begin to teach me many things about, I guess, what I would say, multidimensionality, about that our soul exists in two places at the same time, that we are vast, you know, expanded, super sentient beings, if you will. But in our human bodies, we're just waking up to our magnificent potential, our pure potentiality. And that the dolphins actually hold super light codes of the matrix for new humanity, that they have been on this planet for over 30 million years. And they are our evolved cousins. So they have much to share, and they see in many spectrums of light. And their brain function is much more evolved than ours. So they're teaching us about becoming conscious breathers. They're teaching us about living in a pod mind, about the good of the many, as opposed to the good of the one, teaching us about letting go of the predator-victim cycle that we're in, where we feel we have to stockpile or take care of ourselves and not take care of our neighbors, because, you know, they understand the oneness of each other, and that they're teaching us about that. And the whales are basically, they hold the vibration of the Creator. They hold the bliss. They hold the ecstasy. They hold the all potential, the molecular librarian of this planet. They actually access the Akashic Records through the water molecules. And somewhere out there, there's a whale that is, you know, basically aligned with your energy and all that you are. And it is a wonderful thing. And then they've taught me about healing, because of their vast experience and knowledge, that they have the ability to heal. just about anything. If you're willing to connect with that energy, you can call me and let me know, and I'll explain more. So it's been a wonderful journey. It continues to expand. The path that I spoke of that taught me so many things is to continue to reincarnate, come back to my life time after time, always having the same birthday, which is kind of helped me find her. She likes to be a Pisces, and she's quite a wonderful teacher and a partner to work with. So I do animal communication. I do a past breath consultations, I do energy healing with whale and dolphins. I speak, and I teach. I stay busy.
Yes.
I do booker.
That's right.
I get people out on the boat to experience the whales and dolphins close and personal, to receive the messages and the healing and the joy.
So give your phone number.
Okay, my phone number is 619-271-9461. That's 619-271-9461. And I work with people all over the country, but I do live in North County, San Diego.
You want to give your email address?
Sure. My email is in reference to the original Kuda, which was Pootie. It's pootiesplace@yahoo.com, and that is spelled P like in Paul, UDDYSPLACE@yahoo.com. pootiesplace@yahoo.com. And our website is almost up. It's being rebuilt, and it's Laurie Reon, LaurieReyon.com. It should be, It's down today, but back in a couple days it'll be up.
And you know what? The other thing too I wanted to mention is that we met, and I'd love to have him on the show sometime. A wonderful composer, and his name is Paul Warner, and he gave me a couple of his CDs that are absolutely magnificent. And so, I want to just say hello to Paul Warner if he's listening, and thank you for your magnificent CDs. And so on. So Jenny, talk to us about what you see happening. You're a community builder over there in Oregon, and what's your vision for the Akashic Records work and your center?
Well, I moved here from Southern California 4 years ago, and we'll have my four-year anniversary, the Night of Your Free Lecture.
Okay.
It's kind of fun.
Our lectures are free, though.
I moved here because I was drawn to build community, and I allow for different types of healers, different teachers, different environmental groups to meet together and have a space where they can connect and start building that community network between them. And for the first year of having the store opened, I literally just held sacred space, allowing people who did not openly share their beliefs with their friends and the rest of the community, a place where they could come in and just talk, a place where they were safe and could allow their light to expand. Yes?
No, go ahead. We have a caller, but we'll finish up, and Jenny, and we'll take the caller in just a second. Go ahead.
As far as the community building, it's really just starting up and getting stronger right now. My background is in education, studying multiple intelligences, and I realize that people learn through kinesthetic learning, through the linguistic reading, through auditory, through creative art, through music. And I allow people to explore that here in a wellness studio.
Well, that's great. And now we have a caller on the line. Hello?
This is Laura from Michigan.
Hi, Laura from Michigan.
I have a question. I have a son that's bipolar, and he met a girl in the hospital in the psych ward. And I'm wondering what their connection is, because it's real hard dealing with the two of them.
Are they living together?
No. My son is got a legal guardian, and he's his dad is his legal guardian, and he just went to court to ask for me to put be put on as guardian, but it's really hard for me to deal with him and his girlfriend together, so I don't know if I should interfere or if they have some kind of connection that they need to resolve in this lifetime or if they're better off not seeing each other.
Okay, and how old is your son?
He's 24. He's bipolar and schizophrenic.
Okay, so, and he's on medication, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is his girlfriend on medication as well?
Yes, they both have a similar diagnosis.
Okay. So one of the things with the work that we do is that we can't open the records of anyone without their permission. So to tell you what's going on with your son or his girlfriend would be out of the integrity of the work of the Akashic Records. But what we can do is ask how you can best serve him or how you can best support him in his life.
That would be very good, yes.
Okay, so tell me your name again.
Laura.
Laura. And what is your son's name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. Okay, so I just have to give you so we're going to do this, you know, to the best of our ability without full legal names here. All right? So I'm going to give you what's going on, what I get from this, and then, Laura, if you get anything, you can tell her afterwards. Okay, so the question we have here is how can Laura best support her son Jeffrey in his life today? Is that the question you want to know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what's really important here, and let me explain if you've not listened to us before, Laura, is that we don't interpret anything. We tell you exactly what we see, hear, or sometimes feel. And this information is your information. So what's important to know is that you have to take it for what it's worth and see how it fits in your life. So what I'm hearing here is that at 24, even though your son has some major health challenges, mental and emotional challenges, is that you can no longer control him. Even though you may consider, actually, I'm not even hearing that you should consider being his guardian. What I'm hearing, because that won't be guardian, it'll end up to be caretaker based on your relationship with him. Does that make sense to you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. I was his guardian and I signed off because of his girlfriend, and they want to put him in a group home, and I don't think he's that severe, so I was willing to become his guardian, but I don't want to do that if it'll hamper his growth.
Right, and what I'm hearing is that it has to be his responsibility to take his medication when he needs to and to find the help, not only the psychiatric help, but the emotional help based on his abilities to stand on his own two feet. And what I'm also hearing is that as long as he takes his medication, he's pretty okay. Is that true?
Well, he's actually taking his own kind of medication, and he seems to be doing better on that kind of medication than he does with the prescribed medication. And I don't know if that's the right direction for him, or if he should be on what the doctors prescribe.
And that's not something I can answer for you either. That would not be within the integrity of the work. But the idea here is that what's most important is that you deal with him with love, and it's most important that his whole emotional makeup be supported in love rather than in blame or condemnation. So whatever has been in his life, the criticism needs to be shifted from criticism to empowerment.
Okay.
And so he's not going to respond well to criticism. It's only going to make him rebel, get angry, and he will not be available for you to be with. It was like he won't listen. And so the idea is It's time for him to be treated as an adult, spoken to as an adult. And as far as his girlfriend is concerned, it's going to be absolutely essential that for right now, that until there, it goes to the seriousness of possibly a permanent relationship, that they're both on birth control.
Yes.
Make sure that she's on birth control and he uses birth control. He what?
Okay. He's not. So that it needs to be both ways.
No, what's being said is that he uses a condom and she's on birth control. So it's like that's the idea of both being on birth control.
Right. Okay. I doubt that he's using anything.
Well, he needs to be someone that he trusts, you know, and a man actually would be better off to share that with him. Because that's what I'm hearing is that you need to really be looking at that, and because that can just really complicate things.
Very much.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rayon, do you have anything
you'd
like to share? Yeah. Wait a minute. We got something else that maybe Rayon wants to say.
Well, can I ask you about your feelings about prescription medication?
The medication. Do you want to know the self medication or the
we can't really answer questions for him, but I'm just wondering. You wouldn't mind sharing with me your opinion of him taking prescription medication. Do you feel that that helps him, or do you feel that it's been a detriment to him?
I'm having a hard time hearing you, but we went and Michigan has legalized medical marijuana, and he's been using that, and he's doing much better on that than the prescribed medication that the doctors have given him.
Thank you for sharing that, because that is in alignment with what I'm hearing, that prescription medication is really going to cause some difficulties with frequency, that the more natural remedies and more positive and self-empowering, loving, people in his life will make a bigger difference than condemning him to prescription drugs and institutionalizing him and not seeing him for, you know, the true being he is. At some level, I would like to share with you that at some level, all of us have made these choices in our lives to create and co-create the circumstances that we're in. And there is value to it, even though it might be challenging to see that at some time. But I think that what you said is very helpful information in knowing that natural remedies and are better than polluting the physical vehicle with prescription drugs whenever possible. Okay, and that's not every situation for every person, but that's what I'm feeling is for this situation.
Yeah. And stay on the line now. What?
May I ask you a question real fast?
Sure.
Is there anything to do with heavy metal poisoning?
I'm kind of feeling like that's what he needs to clean out of his system, and he went online and he looked up and says, I know what's wrong with me, Mom. It's Morgellons disease, and which is a parasite. And when he said it, I feel like he's right, and it has the symptoms of like the bipolar and the schizophrenia. But you have to clean the system up and alkalize the system. So he could have heavy metals.
It's not going to hurt him to treat himself for that. That's what I'm hearing. The idea here is if he maintains his control and he's feeling better on the medical marijuana, then to begin to work with the clearing and the detox from heavy metals may, in fact, have a very interesting way of shifting it. What I was getting is that there's also some mercury going on in here. If he's got dental fillings, he needs those changed.
Okay. I can help. There's a doctor.
I also align, Laura, with what you said about the bipolar. It may not be the best label, if you will, or diagnosis for him. There may be many other things going on, and anytime we label someone with something, we kind of, in some sense, condemn them. So I would just avoid that, you know, and just keep the door open.
Uh-huh.
Focusing more on the symptoms as opposed to the disease. Okay.
So I hope this has helped you, Laurel.
It has extremely, because it's saying that what I'm doing with him is, because, you know, my ex-husband has a way of really making me look bad, and I'm out on a limb supporting him in this direction, so I just want to make sure I'm going in the right direction with him.
Sounds like it is. We have actually another question coming up, so I want to thank you for calling in. And if you want to talk to either one of us privately, my telephone number is 216-691-1233, and Rayon gave hers earlier. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, so we have someone else sitting with us. Her name is Lucita Garcia, and we are so happy to have her because she was both in level 2 and level 1, and she has a question, so we'd like to be able to answer a question. We don't have a whole lot of time, so what's your question, Lucita?
It's a really quick question, and I was wondering if the Akashic Records would have a message for anyone listening via the radio or otherwise that is considering coming to your Akashic level class. Is it one or two?
It's one in
Oregon.
Oh, that's very interesting. that's very good. That's great. Actually, I'm doing one in Astoria on the 3rd and 4th of July, and I'm doing one in Salem, Oregon on the 10th and 11th of July. So I'm going to be in Oregon for a while. So what message do we have for those people who are considering coming to a level 1 workshop in Oregon, in Astoria, Oregon, or whatever? The thing that the masters, teachers, and loved ones would like us to remember is this is a calling of your heart. If you are at all curious about what the Akashic Records are about or have to say or how they would be in your life, if you're even curious about what the word means, you need to come to the lecture on July 2nd and listen. You need to give us a call, give me a call, and I would be happy to email you information on the workshop and information about the work of the Akashic Records, because this is profound work, and although it's not for everyone, it is for everyone who feels a connection and a calling, again, of their heart. So this is the time, and you are the ones we've been waiting for. So it's time for you to come forward and be counted. And that's pretty much what they had to say. So you've been a student of Akasha for about 6 years.
Yes,
yeah.
I have. It's been a wonderful journey.
Great. Well, you know, I think we're almost out of time. Jenny, do you have any last comments you'd like to make?
No, but I'm so grateful that the universe and God has brought you to me. So thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. I can't wait to meet you, and we'll be talking during the week a little bit more about all the wonderful plans we're going to have in Astoria. And so I want to thank everyone who is listening, and thank you for being on the show. Everybody go to the website myalabasterjar.com and sign up for the lecture. It's only $20 for the lecture. It's a love donation on the 2nd, and come to the class if you're so called. So give us that information, and give us a call. So at this point, Rayon, do you have any last comments?
I just want to thank everyone for listening and for, you know, tuning in to BBS Radio, to Akashic Wisdom. Every Sunday, Donna always has some profound wisdom to share with everyone. It's always a blessing for her to have these incredible messages out on the air available for everyone. So, once again, yeah, go into your heart. It never lies to you. Follow it, and it will be true.
And, you know, there was something that came forward. I know we're almost out of time. We started a little late, but there's this wonderful paragraph or couple that I want to read from the Book of Life, Daily Meditations with Krishnamurti. And it really was very profound, and I'd like to just read it to you as a closing. And the name of the essay is Effort is Distraction from What Is. And you have to understand that the Akashic Records really define and help you go into the depth of truly what is truth in your life. So here's what Krishnamurti has to say. We must understand the problem of striving. If we can understand the significance of effort, then we can translate it into action in our daily life. Does not effort mean struggle to change what is into what is not, or what it should be, or what it should become? We are constantly escaping from what is to transform or modify it. He who is truly content is he who understands what is, who gives the right significance to what is. True contentment lies not in few or many possessions, but in understanding the whole significance of what is. Only in passive awareness is the meaning of what is understood. I am not at the moment talking of the physical struggle with the earth, with construction or a technical problem, but of psychological striving. The psychological struggles and problems always overshadow the physiological. You may build a careful social structure, but as long as the psychological darkness and strife are not understood, they invariably overturn the carefully built structure. Effort is a distraction from what is. In the acceptance of what is, striving ceases. There is no acceptance when there is the desire to transform or modify what is. Striving, an indication of destruction, must exist so long as there is desire to change what is. And so I would like to tell you that when you really look at what is present in your life and find the truth of who you are and the truth of your intention, you attain a freedom that you've never known before. And so with that, I'm going to close the program, the Akashic Wisdom program on BBS Radio tonight on June 27th, 2010, by saying thank you all. We want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of the program by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Tune in next week, and we'll have the lady, Deshaun Young, on, who is going to be having the Salem workshop. Have a wonderful, miracle-filled week, and know that I love each and every one of you, and so does God. Good night, everybody.